David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. I am Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. Super excited to introduce you guys to our amazing guest today. So today we're diving into the world of business growth, profitability, and accounting expertise with a true industry leader. So our guest is Roger Kinect. He is the president of Universal Accounting Center, a powerhouse in training and certifying accounting professionals. He has over 20 years of experience in marketing, sales, HR, and operations. He has helped thousands of business owners scale their companies by increasing revenue, boosting profits, and building long-term value. So Roger has a podcast on our channel. He is also the host of Building the Premier Accounting Firm, a podcast dedicated to keeping accounting professionals ahead of the curve, featuring top experts and actionable strategies to enhance bookkeeping, accounting, and tax services. As the author of Your Strategic Accountant and Your Profit of Growth Expert, Roger is passionate about helping business owners maximize their financial potential. So excited to have you here. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Lisa, it's a pleasure. Exciting to be here.
Yeah, and the last episode, which I just checked out, is about the three core services in accounting. And that was so insightful. So to our audience, you got to go back and check that one out. You don't want to miss that one.
That was a good discussion. Thank you.
Yeah, amazing. So how are you doing today? Where are you coming in from?
I'm doing amazing. It's a wonderful day. Spring is upon us, and I'm coming to you from Utah.
Utah. Okay. So I'm actually in Canada. So we're like super far away. Yes. Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Oh, very good. Well, it's not yet spring there, I presume, but nonetheless, it's near on its way.
It's on its way. Have you ever been?
I have not. I've been to Toronto numerous times. Let's see here. Calgary a few times, Vancouver a few times. That's pretty much the extent of it, though. Just across the border in Buffalo, so.
So you've seen the topography and the beauty of Canada.
Oh,
though.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful there.
Amazing. Amazing. So welcome back. Do you want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself from your perspective? I just said a lot of things about you, and then we'll get into the topic for today.
Yeah, great introduction. I think you covered it well, but I'll add to it a few important things. One, I'm a husband, so I take that very seriously. I'm a father, something that I enjoy quite a bit. I've got three grown children with each starting their own families, and so that's quite exciting. I'm now actually working with three grandchildren with a fourth on the way. So that's what I'd add to what you shared earlier.
I love that. You're busy in all aspects of life.
Oh, yes. No, you've got to live a, well, for lack of a better term, a balanced life. You've got to recognize there's the personal and the professional. You've got to remember why you're working. So rather than living to work, you want to work to live. And that's what I try to do.
Man, that's a whole nother episode. You got to tell us all those secrets, how to keep balance in all those areas.
Come back and I'll share with you more.
Fair. So do you want to get into today's topic?
Certainly.
Amazing. So today we're going to talk about knowing the difference. So you need each of these in your life. So a mentor, a consultant, advisor, coach, and what to expect from a business coach. Do you want to get into that a little bit?
I certainly do. So one of the things I think is very important, especially from a business point of view, is to recognize that even though we are owning and running and operating a successful business, there's a lot of perspective and insights that you're missing because of the day-to-day operations that you're involved in. And so what we have to understand that as a business owner, it is important to find when these four types of individuals should be brought into our lives, into our business, to help us actually excel. And so what we're going to discuss today is each of these four, first of all, by defining them, and then giving some great examples of how to best utilize these relationships. And so I think by first defining them, we're going to get a little bit more clarity as to who each is and how we can benefit from them individually.
I love that. Do you want to start with the mentor?
I certainly do. So mentor, I think this is one that's commonly used, and I'm going to be very clear. A lot of times these names are used synonymously, meaning they're interchangeable in some people's vocabulary. I'm going to be very distinct and say that they're all unique. And so first of all, a mentor is someone that you're not paying, but it is someone that you're associating with in a very casual way. For example, rather than paying a mentor, you're perhaps exposed to them through, say, networking meetings, or perhaps you're associating with them as a friend, as a cohort, where you're actually interacting with them in a non-structured way. It's just interactions where it's perhaps non-scheduled meetings, it's a phone call. These are casual conversations where you're getting to be kind of mentored and helped along in your way as you're actually learning from their experience and what it is they have to offer from their background. Now, one of the things that I think is very important about a mentorship is typically this is someone who has done what you're trying to accomplish. It's oftentimes someone that's perhaps more seasoned in your experience, not necessarily older, but they are experienced. And so what we want to recognize is these are these people that have accomplish what we're trying to do, and they might have some lessons to learn. So one of the things that I use with this example is there's birds of a feather flock together. If we associate with the right people, we're going to find that there's others like them in that association. And then the second thing you want to realize is that your experience and who you are as a person oftentimes is described as the sum of the five people you associate with most. So in a business context, what we want to do is, who are you associating with most as a business owner? And if you're actually in certain groups, whether it's a networking group, a business mastery group, perhaps it's in some organization like Rotary or the Chamber of Commerce, all of a sudden what's happening is you're associating with individuals that can mentor you over time in a non-structured way through the experiences that they have. And that's a valuable thing to, first of all, realize, and then more importantly, identify and engage with. These are relationships you want to have.
I love that so much. I'm so curious and have to ask, who are your mentors?
Oh, good question. So over the years, I've actually built up a few people. I have coincidentally four individuals that are phenomenal friends of mine. These are individuals that I do social things with as well. So I'm typically together with them about two or three times a month. We do things as couples where we go to dinner, go to plays. I go snowmobiling, side by siding, doing ex outside curricular activities. But each of them are owners of companies. Each of them have similar struggles and challenges that they're facing. Each of them are in a perspective that they can look at my business and give me input that I wouldn't otherwise see. Well, I'm not paying these people for that insight. I'm not actually, scheduling a meeting with them where they're coming in with some structured agenda. I'm associating with them. And for me, they're very much a mentor in my life, if you will.
Yeah, I remember that the line you said about you are the equivalent of the five people you surround yourself with the most. I remember my brother told me that, and I was like 30 years old. That was about 10 years ago. That literally changed everything for me
Wow.
because I had sat there and I looked around and I was like, you're right. I need to fix this. I need to figure this out. And it just like started this chain reaction of getting the right people around me and doing the right thing. So it's so powerful.
If you can proactively find individuals that you would like to be like, you're more inclined to become like them. And I'll just give you a simple example of this. In my opinion, if you can find two individuals that are more accomplished, more driven, they're clearly living a lifestyle that you admire and aspire to have, and then you associate yourself with two other individuals that you can likewise mentor yourself, where you're perhaps further along than they are, you have something to offer them that they're perhaps longing for. What it does is it puts you in a position where you're aspiring to be like two of the individuals, and you're also inspiring to the other two that you have in the group. So you're not the top person in the group of friendship where everyone's trying to glean from you, nor are you the bottom person that's always grappling to try and stay up with the other four. You're right in the middle of the group, and I think that's a healthy relationship to actually have. Now, is this to say these are the only four or five people you associate with? By no means, no. This isn't just the only group. But if you associate with them on a regular basis and you're doing so both personally and professionally, you will basically glean very favorable characteristics from those associations.
Yeah, I was challenged. I was told to put myself in a room where I'm not the smartest person. If you're in a room where you're the smartest person, you're in the wrong room.
Well, I don't mind going into that room on occasion.
That's fair. That's fair. So I love that so much. That's so clear. That's such a clear definition of what a mentor is. And so important to have them. I 100% agree with you on all of those aspects. What about a consultant?
Well, now we're getting into the ones where we're actually paying for the relationship. So, mentor, there's nothing really financially there. They're not sending you an invoice. But with a consultant, they are. And here's the unique thing about a consultant. They have a skill, a talent, an expertise that you need, and it's typically for a short term wherein they're coming to do a specific project. You're paying them for that expertise. They're taking care of it and then leaving. And so a consultant isn't someone that's necessarily coming in and advising you. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The consultant is someone that you're recognizing has a skill and ability that you don't have, and you're going to pay for it so that you can get something specific accomplished. And that's a very important distinction because this is different than the mentor. The mentor isn't coming in and doing anything for you, but the consultant has clear objectives. There are definitive things that they're meant to do. You're paying them for that interaction, and we're actually going to now hope that they're going to take that experience, that skill, that talent that they have, and put it to use for us.
What are some tips that you can tell our audience on how to choose a consultant?
Well, the first thing I would advise is you first of all have to have a clear objective that you're trying to accomplish. What is it that you're expecting they're going to be able to achieve? I think that's very important because too often what it becomes is this thing that experiences scope creep. The blank check phenomenon comes in where it's just this never ending. There's just really no conclusion to this. We want to avoid that. So it's a clear objective, something very specific that they're able to either do or not do, and then a timeline. We want to have a timeline. You've got a consultant here that has the ability to do it, but are they going to take a month to do it, 3 months to do it, 6 months to do it? You don't want them to drag this out. So it has to be something that they're able to prioritize and take care of for you quickly. That's one of the things that I trust you can understand about the consultant. They're there not only to get it done, but they're there to get it done quickly because they are the expert. They know what needs to be done and they can take care of it. So those are two big things. It's the timeline and the clarity of what the expectation is so that you don't experience scope creep or this never-ending check that just keeps being written because something's progressing. No, let's have a definitive end date and more importantly, a specific objective. But to define the right person, to find that consultant that can actually help, we're looking for a track record. They've done it before. They have experience, not just in what we're talking about, but having done what we're asking them to do. Now, that's different than somebody thinking, okay, they have the experience and I think they can pull that off. That's totally different. The consultant literally should be able to say, this is my expertise and this is what I've done for other clients. This is what I'm familiar with and I can do it for you as well.
Yeah, that's so important. So important. What is scope creep?
Scope creep is where you're basically saying, you know, I'd like to do this. Well, 3 weeks into it, it's like, well, let's do that and let's do this. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, you know, I like that idea that we originally started with and we added these two things, but why don't we do this as well? And so what happens is this 3 week project that was meant to accomplish one specific thing is now a, let's say, a 3 month project and you're adding to it two or three more things. It's not a problem to necessarily experience scope creep in the sense that you do find things along the way that perhaps do need attention and can be done differently. But you have to understand that the consultant, they're getting paid as they're going, and they're going to take this $5,000, $10,000 project and turn it into a $30,000 project. Well, that's clearly to their win, but was it to your win? And so we just need to be clear, no, let's stay focused. Let's get this done. Once we're done with this, then we can visit these other things. And so there's always like this 1.0, 2.0, 3.0 type version. Well, before you start 2.0, let's finish 1.0.
Yeah, I love that. And that's so true. And I think it's a skill for like an individual to actually be able to, pinpoint the things that they're not the strongest at. And then delegate that to someone else. And how powerful is that for your business and your
Well, that,
community? And then you can focus on the things that really matter.
yeah, the thing you said there that's so important is delegate. And what I typically define the delegation as it relates to the consultant as is delegation outside of the organization is where you bring in that consultant. If you found that you actually have something that can be delegated, ideally you're going to give it to an employee because they're going to continue to do this. They're going to do it indefinitely. The consultant typically is a project that's short-term in nature. It has a definitive end date. And so I'm not going to employ this person because they're going to at some point be finished. So ideally, ideally, I'm bringing in a consultant that's going to take care of something that takes weeks or months, definitely not a year to do.
Yeah, I love that. Great answer. Great answer. So then talk to us about an advisor.
Wow, this is very good because the advisor is going to be different than the consultant in the fact that, yes, we're paying them, but the role of the advisor isn't to do anything. The consultant is the doer. The advisor is actually going to educate us in a very structured way. They're going to teach us things that we need to be advised upon. Here's the best practices. But the unique thing is the advisor is expecting that we're going to go and implement this. Now, it may mean that we're going to do the work or we're going to delegate it, but the point of the advisor isn't the doing. The point of the advisor is to teach us the best practices, the things that we ought to be doing, the things of what, why, and where. But at the end of the day, it's for us to implement. And so that's the distinction between the advisor and the consultant in the fact that the consultant was going to do it all. The advisor is going to show us what we need to be doing and then expect us to take it from there.
So, I mean, it's similar to a mentor, but tell us the difference between a mentor and an advisor then.
Oh, I love this question. The mentor, if you'll remember, was just basically informal interactions. These are associations where we're
Right.
getting together and it's just casual conversations, and I'm gleaning through insights that they may volunteer. And what we're trying to do here is just through that experience, get gems of experience. The advisor is totally different. This is structured. This is like classroom instruction. It's perhaps a program that you're enrolling in. It's something that you're doing as a class or a course. It's something where the advisor has come together with a curriculum to say, here are the 10 steps you need to follow. Well, the mentor is not going to the point of saying, here's the 10 steps you need to follow. They'll give
Right.
you a step here, they'll give you a step there. It's out of order, it's based on maybe the context of the situation. The advisor, however, is coming in and going, this is steps 1 through 10. You need to follow these. Let's start with number one. I'm going to teach you why it's important, how you're going to implement it. I'm going to show you what to do next. We're going to go to number two. So the advisor is giving you a kind of a turnkey process that you can follow, something that you can easily implement. But again, the advisor isn't doing it. It's expected that you're going to take now these things that you're paying for, the course you've purchased, the program that you're enrolled in, and now go do it on your own.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion, capital at risk.
Right. So they're providing you with a map, and then you're following the map and doing the things that the advisor is telling you to do. And this is someone that we pay, correct?
Oh, yes. This is someone that's you're paying basically because of the fact that they are experts. They've put together a program, something that's turnkey, but the problem is the advisor isn't going to do it. We are. And you have to go in with that understanding. I think so often what happens is many of us find ourselves paying advisors, assuming that they're consultants, that they are going to do what that we're paying for. But at the end of the day, they're not consultants, they're advisors. And getting that realization, that clarity is so important because it eliminates a frustration that oftentimes many people experience because they pay for this wonderful program, presuming that the other person's going to do something that they never agreed to do.
You know what? That brings me back to the days when I worked in the legal system and I was working in criminal law. And the accused would come in and think that by hiring the legal attorney, that it would mean that they were going to get off scot-free, right? So I would call the first call, the expectation call. So, like, telling them, like, we're going to take your money, we're going to do our best to help you, but that doesn't mean that. This is going to turn out well for you in that way. So I love that the expectation of what an advisor does for you. You still have to put the work in, but they're going to help guide you.
That's right. That's right. So the consultant probably knew those 10 steps and they would do those 10 steps. The advisor is telling you what those steps are, showing you why they're important and valuable, but expecting you to now take and go do something with them.
Got it. Okay. So then now we're at the coach. What is the coach doing?
I love the coach. The coach is so important because the coach is something that's really going to be the game changer for this entire experience. And I'm hoping that the distinction between the mentor, consultant, advisor, and coach become very clear at this moment. So I want you to think about Cinderella. Cinderella needed to get to the ball. How did she get there? She took the coach. The coach is something that actually takes you from point A to point B. The coach is the thing that actually enables you to implement and do the things that you're needing to, because the advisor is going to point you to the coach. The coach is going to help you get in and take that movement. Now, here's the thing that's different, though. The coach isn't actually a consultant doing anything. The coach, however, is going to do two important things as it relates to the business owner. A great coach does first, they hold you accountable. They're going to be the ones to make sure that what you're doing gets done. Why? Because they're going to ask again and again what you're doing as you're moving forward and implementing the things that you were advised on by them. So the coach is an advisor. They're going to teach you best practices. But the second part of it is asking right questions. They're going to make this a unique one-on-one experience. They're going to customize what's happening so that you can actually now say that everything that's going on is being applied to me individually. And so the coach, by asking the right questions, gets to the heart of the matter. They're asking the questions that perhaps no one else will. They're having you now dive into things that perhaps no one else has asked about so that you can think deeper about what's going on. They're going to get into the nuances of what's happening in the organization, the policies, the procedures. They're asking the questions that ideally you're needing to have asked, but no one else would ask. The second part, though, is that thing I mentioned at first of the accountability. Imagine somebody that asked you the right questions, helped you identify what is the priority next in your business. It's clear what needs to happen next, and they ask you, and when are you going to get it taken care of? And they say, you know what? I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to take care of it by this Friday. Well, lo and behold, Friday rolls around. You have another meeting with them next week, and you ask, so did you do what you said you were going to do last Friday? Nine times out of 10, if you did not have an accountability coach, we're all prone to procrastination. We'd all find an excuse, a reason to push it off. Even though it's very important, without that coach, we're going to put things off. And that's one of the things that I think is hugely important is the accountability that they bring to the relationship that a consultant doesn't bring, a mentor doesn't bring, an advisor doesn't bring, but only the coach does. Because the mentor, they're not going to put you to a deadline and they're not going to follow up necessarily, nor do they care if you do anything about it. The consultant, they're supposed to be doing it themselves. So you can get them to give you a deadline and they're going to be held accountable to it. But when it comes to the advisor, there is no deadline because they're going to teach you what needs to be done and walk away hoping that perhaps you implement what they taught you because it was very important, but they don't care if you do anything with it either. The coach, however, they're intimately involved in what's happening. They want to see you move forward and put these things into place. But there's a third component that the coach brings to the perspective or brings to the relationship that's hugely valuable, and it's what I just said, perspective. Perspective is where they're able to see the business differently than you do as a business owner because of the perspective they bring to the conversation. They're not involved in the day-to-day operations, and they can ask, well, why is this so important to you now? Why does this matter at this point? How come this is more important than that other thing you mentioned? They're able to bring in, did you ever consider this? Have you thought of doing it this way? Have you actually seen this done elsewhere? These perspectives are hugely important because if you think about it from an athletic perspective, the coach isn't someone that gets out onto the field and plays. Whatever sporting event you want to consider, the coach steps back and actually, from a third-person perspective, witnesses what's going on and says, hey, I noticed that you're doing it this way. Try it this way. I noticed that you attempted it at this time. Do it this way at this time. And that perspective is something that only the coach can bring to the equation.
Yes. And the thing that you said about procrastination, I feel like that is a human being's biggest competition right there. And having someone hold you accountable to those things is so important. I guess my question for you, Roger, then is, some people have several coaches. Do you think that's necessary?
I wouldn't say necessary, but it's appropriate. You can have a life coach, you can have a business coach, you can have a relationships coach. It's kind of like if you want to consider it like therapy, you're going to somebody to actually help you with certain things. But the point that I'd like to make here is with these different coaches, if you're working with them and they're asking the right questions, they're holding you accountable, and they're having you see things differently than you see them, meaning the therapist or the coach is asking you things that you hadn't considered before, then you're working with someone that is valuable because they're going to help you now move things at an accelerated pace. That's the value of the coach, is they're going to accelerate the success. They're going to help you more quickly identify what needs to change, and they're going to help you put in due dates that allow you to actually focus on them because they're prioritized, but then they're going to follow up with you simply because of the accountability to make sure it is in fact done. But here's something I'd like to bring up just simply because of your question. you asked multiple coaches, very appropriate. But the thing that's very important to understand about the coach is when you're working with one, you can actually get things done more quickly simply because of the fact that you're feeling like you're being kind of not necessarily judged, but you're now not able to push it off or procrastinate. But there is one other thing that I wanted to mention that you hadn't mentioned that I think everyone should consider. At the beginning of the conversation, before we pressed record, we were talking about AI. AI can easily replace an advisor because it can come up with great things to do, things to focus on, but the AI does not hold us accountable. The thing that cannot be replaced is a great coach. AI is not a threat to the business coaching profession. Why? Because as a business coach, yes, you can get great insights and actionable things that can be done, but you bring to the table a unique part of the relationship, which is the accountability.
Right. So, give us some tips on finding the right coach and what to look for, how to know when this person is not right for you. Like, what should be happening? Because I know for me, when I'm looking for a coach, if they're triggering me in certain ways, I'm like, oh, this person's good because they're getting like something, they're getting a reaction out of me, right? So, can you give us some tips on that?
I will. There's a few things that I would suggest. One, I personally believe that when working with a coach, you need to give it at least a 3 or 4 month commitment before you make a decision. What I mean by that is it's too early to see whether or not what they're advising you on and working with you on is working until you've had a chance to not only figure out what needs to be done, but you've implemented things to address it and given it time to actually now run its course and show improvement. So you've got to be patient, okay? So 3 or 4 months. That's the first thing. The second thing is you want to work with a coach that shows they have a specific system or process that they're bringing for you to implement. To simply say, "Oh, I've got a lot of experience, I've got a world of background, I'm going to bring that to the conversation. As you have situations, we're going to talk them through. And I'm sure that through my experience, I've got a book to recommend. I've got a process I can suggest." That's not what I'm looking for. I've worked with coaches like that, and it's basically they're just doing the shotgun approach. Come to me with your problem or situation. We'll talk it through, and I'll leave you with some wisdom that I have. And that can be valuable. And I'm not trying to suggest that it's not valuable, but there's something more valuable. And it's to say, I have a process or a system that can take you from where you are to where you want to be in 12 steps, in 6 months, in 12 months. Give me that time, and I will teach you, I will show you what is turnkey for you to do. Because in many instances, there is a process that you can follow. I'm not looking for a lifelong therapist that's going to be, with me for 10, 20, 30 years. I'm looking for somebody that can actually help me in the coming weeks, months, implement something new that I can learn and actually apply with confidence and move me from where I am today to somewhere specific. I'm not wanting to just go on a generic trip. I want to go to Disneyland. I'm in Utah. I want to go to Disneyland. Can you get me there? And they're going to say, yes, I can get you there. We can go by train, we can go by plane, we can walk, we can drive. What would you prefer? Well, I don't like driving. I can't sit that long. I like to fly. Okay, fly is going to cost this much, but we can go on this day at this time and it'll get you there. Perfect. That's what I want. I want somebody that can be definitive rather than, you know what? Let's just talk next week and we'll figure it out. No, I want a process.
Sounds like you want confidence.
I want that confidence, but I want that turnkey thing that they've done it with somebody else. And if I just follow it, I can also expect similar results. I'm looking also for a definitive end, not so much that it's an end date in the sense that it's over and done by this particular date, but an end date in the sense that we're working towards a specific thing in a particular timeline. I'm not looking for someone, again, that's just going to be, I don't know when it's right to quit. I don't know when we're finished. I don't know when to say we're done. No. And in 6 months, we'll figure out whether or not it's something that's working and if we should continue. And that's one of the things that I think is oftentimes lacking with coaching. It's like a blank check to say, well, we'll just be working on things for who knows how long.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So I want to ask you one more thing, and then I want to talk to you about your book. Should we have all of these at once? Should we have a mentor, a consultant, an advisor, and a coach all at once?
Not necessarily. I could see somebody saying they have, and I can concede that, but let me just give you an idea. Mentor, definitely. You should be associating with individuals and have somebody that you're aspiring to be like, somebody that you're trying to mimic. That's something that I think we all should have. Those types of relationships, those types of friendships. So definitely a mentor all the time. As it relates to consultants, I would suggest a consultant, again, is project-based. If you've got a particular project and you need to bring in an expert, by all means, bring in that expert. Be very specific and clear as to what's expected, and then work accordingly. Advisors all the time. I love advisors. Advisors, it's kind of like a book and taking a class and going to a course and going to a conference and doing these various programs. I'm always looking for advisors. And if I can get an advisor in the sense that I've gone to a conference and I've listened to a specific speaker, if I've read a particular book, if I've gone to a particular seminar, taken a class, those I consider advisors. And clearly you can get advisors where, they're live in front of a class giving you some hands-on instruction. That's beautiful. I'm always willing to be learning. But as for a business coach, one business coach is, I think, very appropriate. It's somebody that I'm going to open up to, build rapport with, become comfortable with. I have a trusted advisor that I can confide in, somebody that I can share my deepest, darkest secrets and frustrations because I don't feel judged. That's the business coach I'm looking to work with because I can now be transparent with them. There's oftentimes, and this is through my own experience being a business coach, in the first month or two, there's oftentimes enough rapport that a breakthrough occurs where they start to actually share personal things that are affecting their business. There are reasons why they're not able to focus entirely on their companies, and it's outside distractions, relationships with spouses, relationship with children, relationships with their parents, health issues that are going on. There are things that oftentimes are distracting them. Perhaps it's financial issues that they're struggling with. All of these things play into the success of the business. It might be obvious what clearly needs to happen next in the company, but there might be something else we need to work on first before they can actually focus on that priority.
Well, I want one of each every morning to talk to me and have me go about my day.
Well, that's a lot of conversation. So there you go.
Yeah, I guess so, right? That you make them all sound so awesome. I love the way you define those, and I know our audience will find a lot of value in that. It was so clear. Roger, you wrote Your Profit and Growth Expert. Can you talk to us about that book, please?
Happy to. So that book was specifically written to address what we've been discussing today. I feel a lot of business owners struggle to understand who they should be working with and what that coaching relationship should look like. And so what I've done in the book is I've broken down exactly what we've been discussing today and gone into a lot more depth as to what those relationships would look like and what you should expect. And the thing that I've added to that in the book is the perspective from an accounting point of view. The accounting profession has a lot to offer the business owner, much to offer as it relates to the profitability of the business, the cash flow related to the business. And so what we're trying to do is simply say that when, as a business owner, you're working with a business coach, work with one that I would refer to as a profit and growth expert. And essentially what we do is we teach in the book that there's five things that need your attention. And when you can work with a coach to help you address each of these, you're going to be great. One is the ability to be a great leader. And we refer to that as engaging and manifesting. What do you want? What are you working towards? Can you clearly identify it? Are you a leader in your organization that's inspiring? The second thing is understanding accounting. Do you know the numbers in your business? Are you comfortable with your financial reports? The third thing is increasing revenue. What do you understand about the business that you have where you're marketing and selling and generating the sales that you need? The fourth thing is improving profit. Profit is the fourth thing that we need to focus on because at the end of the day, how much of what you're earning are you keeping? And that's one of the things that I think oftentimes eludes the business owner. They work so hard, they make the money, top line revenue is awesome, but it's just not trickling to the bottom line. There's nothing to show for it. Where's the cash at the end of the day? What's the return on investment? And then the fifth thing is building value. It's for the business owner to ultimately recognize that as a company, they're building an asset. Ultimately, one day you're going to exit, you're going to leave. Well, what's that company worth? What do you need it to be worth for you to be able to retire and go on to the next thing? That's a very important lesson. It's not just simply enough to be working in the business as if it were a job. It's enough to actually say you're an owner of an asset and you're building something that somebody else at one day would want to actually take. Consider it like the goose laying the golden egg. What are you doing to raise this goose to where it's just a phenomenal animal that's laying a number of golden eggs that you can now actually say, here's the goose, you can take care of it now. That's one of the things that I think is very valuable. It's building a business that ultimately can live and thrive autonomous from you on a day-to-day basis. And that's what we try to do with these five things that we offer as it relates to business coaching.
So amazing and so impactful and important. I love that. Where can we find your book?
You can go to universalaccounting.com, and there in the navigation, you'll find free resources. And right at the top of the free resources are some ebooks. This is one of them, and you can get it for free. So go to universalaccounting.com, go to free resources, check out the ebooks, get your profit and growth expert.
Wow, amazing, amazing. I know I'll be rushing there as soon as we're done this call.
Perfect. That's one.
Do you want to talk to us a little bit about all the other services you provide?
Yes. So as a school, we work with individuals that are interested in excelling in accounting. And so we have accounting courses ranging from bookkeeping, accounting, tax planning, CFO and advisory type curriculums. All of these are meant to empower the accounting professional to excel in their careers, getting the job they want, the pay they deserve, or actually helping them start and build successful accounting, bookkeeping, and tax businesses.
Amazing. Amazing. I love that. Wow. Powerful. Amazing stuff. And so before we let everyone go for today, I always do this, and it's just so much fun for me, and it's impactful and powerful. Leave us with something. Leave us with one really, really strong tip, a mic drop event, as we talked about earlier. What would you like to say to our audience?
Very simple. As a business owner, it can be lonely at the top, but when you find yourself surrounded by individuals that are accomplished, successful, in fact, mentors, consultants, advisors, and coaches, you can have the confidence and the competence to go out there and excel in your business and be the success that you intended to be when you started your company.
Well, I'll do it because you just gave me chills. Nicely done.
And with that, I'm going to tell you, if it's about business, it is universal. So check us out at universalaccounting.com.
Awesome. Roger, it was so much fun talking with you today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Lisa, it was a pleasure. I enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for all the questions. Everyone else out there, take care. Have a great day and be safe.
Amazing. And with that, I'm signing off. I'm Lisa from The Advisor. Thanks so much for tuning in, and make sure to check us out next time. Roger, can you give us a teaser on what our next episode is going to be about?
Our next episode is going to be about something that you want to understand as it relates to running your business from a personal point of view.
Ooh, I'm excited. Can't wait. We'll see you guys there.